Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I read across a book about 3 years ago. That just the back cover. When you go book shopping, so you'll see the cover. A lot of times I'll look at the cover, then I'll flip it around. I'll read the back cover, and I get an idea of how this is going to benefit my life, and how I can grow from this, or how this can point me to Christ. And I ran across this book, and just the back cover caught my attention, and lately it's captured my heart again. And I want to read you what you read on the back cover. That really shook me to the core. It shakes me to the core every time I read it. It's a book by John Piper. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Maybe you're online. You can see this. Don't waste your life. You're watching. Don't waste your life. Just that phrase messes with me. I don't think that many people wake up in the morning and say, I want to waste my life. I think sometimes it can feel that bad. I think sometimes it can feel that hopeless, that I'm wasting my life. But I don't think many people wake up and say, I want, and I've set out to waste my life. There may be a down moment. There may be a juvenile moment where you feel that and you sense that. But I don't believe that's at the core of many people. So this caught my, don't waste your life. Here's what the back cover says. Don't waste your life. John Piper writes, I will tell you what tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider the story from the February 1998 Reader's Digest. A couple took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells, see my shells. What a tragedy. God created us to live with a single passion, the joyful display His supreme excellence in all spheres of our life. The wasted life is the life without this passion. God calls us to pray and to think and to dream and to plan and to work, not to be made much of, but to make much of Him in every part of our life. One more paragraph. Most people slip by in life without passion for God. This is interesting. Spending their life on trivial diversions, living for comfort and pleasure, and perhaps trying to avoid sin. This book will warn you not to get caught up in a life that counts for nothing. That's a great expression. It will challenge you to live and die, boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ, making the glory of God. What do you think about that? The glory of God, your single passion. If you believe that to live is Christ and to die is gain, read this book, learn to live for Christ, and don't waste your life. Just the back cover gripped me. The title, Don't Waste Your Life, messes with me, stirs my heart. I just love it. Got some big questions for us today. Here's a big question, kind of first big question to think about. How do you not waste your life? If that kind of tunes in with you, if that kind of triggers something, don't waste your life. Yeah, that's me. I don't want to waste my life. I'm 55. I'm 62. I'm 28. I don't want to waste my life. Then a question I had as I was kind of working through this myself, thinking about this, then how do you not waste your life? And I'll give you the answer that I kind of wrote down, an answer that I've discovered is this. You seek and discover then what is most important. I believe one of the ways you don't waste your life is you discover then what's most important. And Piper talks a little bit about this. I believe once you discover what's most important, then that becomes your dedication and your direction and your devotion. Then it leads me to the other question. What's most important to you? I mean, for real. Like, seriously. Like authentically genuine. What's really, not just what's most important. How was that? You ever had somebody ask you a question and you kind of want to give the best answer possible? You know, Just describe your strengths. Pretty amazing. It's those questions that you try to, you just, but I thought about this. What is truly most important in our life? Make it personal. What is truly, I mean, the real deal? I mean, like right now in life, if it was, I mean, if there was some like, some, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars, E.T., Spock, mind evasive, what's most important? And like could really put it up on the screen. What would really come up on the screen? I mean, if there is some way that you walk through like a most important detector, and when you and you were like, what's most important? Well, it's my family and it's my friends. And then when you and then but you would walk through the most important detector. And if it wasn't true, it would go, ah. Tell us again. Well, it's like my boat. Come on through. I mean, really, if there was some machine like that or some, what's really most important? I think it's something we need to talk about because I believe we don't want to waste our life. I don't know what the devil has told you. I don't know what the enemy has told you. I don't know if you've ever been told you were a waste. I don't know if you've ever felt like your life is a waste. I don't know if anybody, if you've ever done anything or if there's ever been something that made you feel that way. If someone did something to you and it just made you feel like I'm a waste, or you feel like your job or your educational journey or maybe your relationships or just you just feel like that I'm just going in circles. I'm in this cycle. I'm not adding value. And you feel like you're wasted. You know what? God's desire is that you don't feel that way and you don't live that way. God wants you to have direction. God wants you to have purpose. Do you know there are some things that are more important than others? How do you find out what's important? I believe one of the ways you don't waste your life is you discover what's important and you devote, you dedicate, you commit your life to that. Well, we've got to know that there are some things that are more important than others. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, there are some things that are more important than other things. I mean, air is more important than peanut butter. Peanut butter is very important. But it's not as important as air. If you chose peanut butter over air, you would be dead. Water is more important than good shoes. Now, everybody likes good shoes. And you need good shoes. But you can't live on good shoes. That's really for the ladies in the house. Can I have an amen from all the men? Just trying to help out a brother. There are some things that are more important than others. Your wife is more important than a $150 Bass Pro gift card. Some of you guys are like, for real? I mean, that's like huge. $150? Okay. $250. Women, your hubby is more important than a year's supply of free manicure and pedicures. Some of you women like, I'm leaving this church. They don't have their priorities in line. There are some things that are more important than others. What's important? Well, we know our family is important. Our health is important. Our friends are important. There are things about life that are important. But to really live the life, to discover what really is important, what are the important things? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? Does the Bible help us to know what's important? Because if we can discover what's important, then hopefully that'll help us not waste our life. Well, the Bible does say something about what's most important. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a great scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's four verses. And I want to focus in on that for a few minutes. I think it's a good reminder. I think it's a great reminder leading us into Easter. Kind of what this week is all about, the Passion Week, as Pastor Mike talked about. And I just think it's a great reminder. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. Now the Corinthians, they were a crazy bunch. They couldn't make up their mind. They really had driftitis. They just one day were like, man, this is real important. And the next day, this is real important. And they had a lot of confusion in priority. I don't know if your priorities have ever been confused. I don't know if you've ever had scattered priorities. If you've ever had priorities that were misaligned. I don't know if you've ever been through a time like that in your life where you just looked at your life and said, it's just too crazy right now. The Corinthians kept bouncing around. And so Paul comes and says, let me just help you to realize what is, and this is the term he uses, what is of first importance. I think it's a great phrase. First importance. Now, brothers, I want to remind you, verse 1, of the gospel. He's reminding them of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ that I preach to you, which you receive. You receive the gospel. You receive it. It's a gift. The gospel has been a gift to you. You received it, on which you have taken, God, I wrote my Bible, can't read it now. Which you have taken your stand. I marked up my Bible, couldn't read it. Which you have taken your stand, that's a great word. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. So he starts off by saying, this gospel, if you it has saved you, you have received it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the message of Jesus Christ is the good news. If you'll stand on it, and then if you'll hold to it firmly, if you'll stay committed to it, if you'll be fully devoted to it. Then he goes on to say in verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, or as first, or first off, as of first importance. And he's going to describe what's of first importance, because Corinthians have had a problem with what they've determined as important in their life. They keep bouncing around. That Christ died for your sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to Scripture. And then it talks about how he appeared. So he says, of first importance in your life, talking to the Corinthians, you've got a lot of choices, a lot of options. He says, let me just remind you, this is a reminder of what's first importance, and that is that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and that he rose again, and he is alive. That is of first importance. What's he saying? Let me tell you what's most important in your life. Let me tell you what's most important in your spiritual journey, in your faith. It's that. I'll tell you what's important. And he describes what we celebrate next weekend, which is Easter. Say, do you know then why is Easter so important? Why do we make it so important? Why is it that at Easter things just kind of happen? It's a thing that goes on. I mean, we enjoy the chocolate, but the chocolate is not why it's most important. We paint eggs. That's cool. But that's not what makes it most important. We get new clothes. I mean, that's kind of neat. But that is not what makes it most important. It kind of kicks off spring, which is great. But that's not what makes it most important. Here's something. A lot of people come to church at Easter. I mean, people that normally don't come to Easter service. Now, there's a two side to that coin. There's a side. I'll just tell you from my heart. Because it's a lot, we put a lot of emphasis. I mean, we'll pray a lot, and we'll fast this week, and we'll do a Wednesday where we do a Station of the Cross, really connecting with God, and we'll work hours upon hours. I mean, all the stuff with the kids and cleaning and making sure our campus, because we're going to invite, there's a lot of people that come to church on Christmas and on Easter. They're called Christers. And I was one of those. My family, for about a decade, went to church on Christmas and Easter. I don't know why we only went there, because we knew those were important dates. But can I tell you, it wasn't as important as maybe I thought it was, because it never really impacted the other days of our life. So that I love that so many people, our church attendance will double. I mean, there'll be thousands and thousands of people that will come on site, come to church Easter. And I love that. I love that they're checking it out, and they're wondering. But I just wonder sometimes, you know, it's a lot of pressure. Because you almost feel like, man, we really need to make Jesus attractional that day. I mean, we really need to make him look good. Because it's kind of like one hope. And if we don't make Jesus look really good that day, then they're not going to take him. It's almost like, you ever been to Baskin Robbins and you're checking out some flavors and you're kind of unsure of it, but they got like a really cool name, like Cotton Candy Express. I'm not sure, but I'll try it. Easter's a little like that for people. They kind of just say, can I try it? The problem with that is you never really see Jesus look to the crowd and say, hey, can you try me? And I come in a lot of different sizes. It's just, it's kind of a two-sided coin. You're excited that so many people are going to come to church. We're going to give it our best. But then there's a side to me that says, Jesus is amazing the other 50 weekends of the year. And I'm not really in the job. It's not really my call to sell Jesus. Jesus can take care of himself. I can't make him more attractional than he is. I can't tell you something about him that he hasn't said about himself. All I can be is a paper plate. But I can tell you right now, we're not even fine china around here. The main event is Christ and Christ alone. Jesus is enough. And I think there's a discovery in your life about that. And I'm praying that many people will discover that. That's why Easter is important. We celebrate first place the most. It's the most top-ranked thing about a message of God. It's the greatest moment in history. It's real simple. Jesus Christ dying for our sins. And Jesus rose from the dead. That's the story. That's of most important. If you want to know what's most important in life, and how it can shape all the spheres of life, as John Piper talks about, Jesus Christ dying for your sins. Christ rose from the dead. I mean, Paul is saying this is the best news ever. It is the gospel. It's Easter. It's of most important. Now, can I ask you, church, what do you do with good news? You share it. When you get good news and you got to tell somebody, you want to share it with other people. It's like when you're in love. I'm in love. I'm in love. Remember Elf? I'm in love and I'm love and I don't care what anybody else knows. I'm in love. I'm in love. The whole world is all in love. I mean, it's good news. I mean, when I told Delana a couple, I went to tell Delana a couple of times I loved her. And I knew I was getting ready to get I like you. Heads up, you don't want to say I love you and you get back I like you. That's not a good day. That's kind of, oh, great. I mean, I love you. I thank you. It's not what I was looking for. When she said I love you too. I mean, I remember, I told some people. Yeah, Delana told me last night she loved me. She's been dying to tell me for like 6 months. So you got to keep your rep. If you lose 30 pounds, it's great news. You want to tell people. You work it into the conversation. I mean, you could be talking about calculus and come across the number 30. Yeah, 30 equals B plus C into the astronaut of the radius of your cinematography. I lost 30 pounds. If you got engaged, you would want, what are you going to do? Hey. If we're pregnant. Hey, we're pregnant. We're pregnant. It's great news. What do you do? You tell people we're pregnant. If you get straight A's, if you make the dean's list. Hey, I mean, straight A's. Check it out. What'd you make? Yeah, I thought so. You want to tell people who don't make straight A's. That's why we invite people to Easter service. Why? Because we believe it's great news. And when you have good news, what do? You share it. I want to finish with a challenge. Got a few minutes left. I know how a lot of times you go into a place like this and they say, you know, cut your phones off. Can I ask you to cut your phones on? For real, cut your phone on. Put it on silent. If you have a cell phone, get your cell phone out. This is a church that we want you to have your cell phone out. Many of you have your Bible on your cell phone. Many of you take notes on your cell phone. Matter of fact, you can connect with Healing. But did you know you can watch our service on your mobile smartphone now? The other day, I was on a plane and we were taxiing, and I'm watching one of our Healing Place services. It's the coolest thing. Maybe you're watching online through mobile technology. It's something that also we feel like is a big future here. Mobile technology. Now, cut your ringer off. I know some of you go, I don't know how many church services I've been in. And it's like, and the worst if it's like, you know, a bad song. And it's in church. Like, she's a brick house. Brother, can you have a church ring? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then can you have your crazy ring? You know, bad, bad Leroy Brown. We don't need it in the house. It's kind of interesting how people have different rings. So get your phone. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'd like for you to put yourself a reminder, or I would like for you to invite someone to Easter service through texting them. Because I believe if it's good news, then it's good news worth that you could share. So maybe you'll see, maybe you know somebody immediately. Maybe there's somebody you work with. Maybe there's somebody, and I believe we've got our service times here. I think it's of first importance. Maybe you didn't bring your phone in, but maybe within the next 6 hours, maybe before you go to bed tonight, you'll invite somebody to church. Get on Facebook. Let them know, hey, I just wanted to know, would you come to church with me next weekend? Or maybe they're out of town. Would you mind watching online? I'll be there. And so it's kind of like we're in church together. I'll go to the, if you can watch it, maybe they're in a different time zone. You can work that out. I think when you have good news, you share it. I just think that's so important that you share. What would you feel like that if someone didn't want to share the good news? That, I mean, if you were pregnant and you didn't want to share that, or if you got engaged and the person you got to, tell me how weird this would be. You're engaged and your fiance says, let's not tell anybody. Heads up. That's not, don't go register at Dillard's yet. Okay, don't pick out towels. If they're letting you know, listen, man, can it be like secret? Can we do like a secret engagement and just not tell anybody about it? And just because, you know, what would you say to that? That sounds great. God, I feel great about that. I'd vomit. I would feel so bad. You know what, dude? It would cause an alarm to go off. Why? What? Whoa, 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 whoa. Back up. Stop the bus. You don't want to tell anybody? Why? Lord. Oh, Father, have mercy. I'd go into prayer mode. I'd go into call on God mode. If Delin would have told me that, she gave her the ring. This is great, but I don't think I want to wear it. And I really don't want to, let's not tell anybody we're engaged. I would get nauseated, red splotches on my neck. I believe Jesus dying on a cross. And many of you believe this for your life. You're coming to believe this. And that he forgave you of your sins. How many in here, you had more than one sin? How many of you don't even want to get the calculator out? And then he rose again. He is alive. And he invites you in relationship. And God says, I'm your father. I'm a father to the fatherless. I'll heal you of your past. I'll wipe away the stains. I'll be peace. I'll be strength. You know what you want to do? You want to share it. Maybe invite 10 people. Maybe follow up on Wednesday with the follow-up text. Hey, you don't want to go crazy and text them like 80 times and like be a stalker. Don't stalk anybody. But maybe you want to follow. So you know what? Son, you haven't gone to church with me in like 3 years. I would like to know that this could be the best Mother's Day gift you could give me. Would you go to church with me Sunday? Maybe it's a grandson. You know, we haven't spent any time together. I would love for you to spend Easter with me, son. As brother, co-worker, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody you work out with, somebody you go to school with. Maybe it's somebody you know that's kind of gotten in a ditch. Maybe they're far from God. We're going to think all week and going to pray for people that are far from God, that they're going to hear his knocking when they come here next week. Because Jesus is knocking. I want to encourage you to do that. I'll finish up with this. It's the last question. I'm not going to ask you any more questions, I promise. What is the most important thing in your life? What is it? Is it money? Is it finances? Is it fame? You and I both know where that can end up. I don't know what it is. Sometimes it's small things that really have become an outlet. It's your phone. It's LSU football season. It's just almost like it's your way out. So you've given yourself to things. What are you thinking about right now? What are you dying to do? You know, Pastor Gary Skinner delivered a great message last weekend. I only tell you this because I just want you to know this, and I just share this with you about children. And you gave an offering that is staggering. You gave over $75,000 to Africa in one weekend. That's a growth. That's a lot. That's a big offering. That's huge. I mean, and we're giving all that to him plus more. Our hope is that we give him $100,000, which would be the largest single offering we've ever received for a missions opportunity. And that it would be the largest offer we've ever given anyone. I can't think of anything better than to give to Gary Skinner, who's building a church in one of the hard places of the world, and to help him reach kids that sometimes wonder if anybody cares about him, and help him keep telling the story, and help build some of these clinics, help build some of these churches that he wants to do. And so what did that say? That said that while he was speaking, it became important to a lot of people here. It became important to you. Now, what's interesting is I saw some people when he was finishing up actually get up and walk out. They had to go somewhere. See people on their phone while he's talking. That indicates, too, what's important. That while you're in church, you've got to get somewhere else. It's more, you know, and I know there's always emergency and stuff like that. You know how I feel about that. That's always cool. But, you know, just kind of fooling, kind of maybe checking the internet, checking your email. I don't know what, you just saw some people. And I was like, wow, as Gary's pouring out his heart about Africa, kids that have nothing. But there were so many that said, God, that's so important that I want to give to that. I want to sacrifice. Can I tell you, God made you the most important thing to him. By sending his son Jesus, you don't have to wait to Easter. You don't have to wait till next week or tragedy, sickness, or bankruptcy. You can say yes to him, accept him, receive him as the most important thing in your life. I'm going to pray with you in a moment because I believe it is time to settle this issue, like many that are getting baptized in a few moments. Can I just encourage you right now? God is inviting you to live your life for him. You've been existing. Real life begins by committing yourself completely to Jesus Christ. How do you do it? Number one, you believe. You believe today that no matter what you've done, God wants to forgive you. All you have to do is ask. And then the second thing you do is you receive. You receive his forgiveness for your sins, and you receive Jesus Christ, the risen Lord and Savior of your life. Because I'm not asking you to be a fan of Jesus. What I'm asking you to do is to be a follower of Jesus. And if you'll decide to be a follower of Jesus, you and I will not waste our life. Amen. So you to bow your heads. I want to pray with you. Father, thank you for every precious person in this room. We don't want to be fans. We want to be followers. You didn't call people to be a fan. You called them to be a follower. All over this room, if you say, Dino, I want to believe that Jesus Christ can forgive me of my sins. Maybe you're here right now and we're going to baptize some who made that decision. That's one of the most exciting things we do. But all across this room, you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me because I don't want to waste my life. And I believe Jesus died for me. I don't understand it completely, but I do believe that Jesus died for my sins. And I need him to forgive me of my sins. I'm still sorting through how all that works. And I want to receive him as my Savior. And I don't know how he'll receive me, but I sure want to receive him. But you're here today and you don't want to waste your life. And I'm not saying your life is a waste. I understand my heart. But you just don't want to do that. And you're dealing with what's most important. And when I ask that question to us, what's the most important thing in your life? For real? You struggled with it. Because like Paul said, of first importance, Jesus died for you. And he rose again so that you can live.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.